On a very hot afternoon, I'm in Bristol with Emma Ineson, and I missed the exciting bit of news by not paying any attention to church news while I've been away. So, Emma, where have you been appointed?
So, I've been appointed to be the Bishop of Penrith, which is suffragan bishop in the Diocese of Carlisle.
I'm really excited. I don't know how I missed it, apart from I've been ignoring all sorts of
probably
news.
Probably best to ignore church news as much as you can.
I'll come back to it after sabbatical and I'll read everything. So the first question is, when and where did we first meet or kind of come across each other, I guess?
I don't know. And when you asked me this question earlier, I was thinking about this. I'm not sure. Where do you think? I think I've sort of known... around the diocese. We've probably been in the same rooms in a few different meetings, but maybe not actually met formally.
No, I don't think we have. Matt and I, your husband and I, did the same leadership course a few years ago, but I think we've sort of said hello to each other at diocesan synod and things like that.
That sort of thing, yes. Probably both in dog collars.
Yes. Do you drink tea?
I do drink tea, yes, I do. I like a good cup of tea.
And what's your favourite sort of tea?
Just bog standard tea. We always drink Yorkshire tea at home. I don't know if I'll be allowed to still drink Yorkshire tea when I'm living in Cumbria. Probably there's some kind of competition there. But yeah, Yorkshire tea and before lunchtime. But then after lunchtime, something without caffeine. So.
Okay.
Something red bushy or fruit tea.
So this is the question I'm asking everybody, whatever their background. So it's had some interesting responses. How do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
It's a good statement. I was interested to read it when you sent it through to me. I would say it's neither of those things is true. Christianity is definitely not dying, and you just have to come to Trinity Chapel on any weekday morning when the Trinity College community is gathered for worship, morning prayer, to see 120 passionate, committed disciples of Jesus offering themselves for ministry in his church, some of them in their early 20s, so some of them got 30 or 40 years 50 years even of ministry, professional ministry ahead of them, and to see how on fire they are, how eager they are to spread the gospel and to talk about God's love with people, you'd be hard-pressed to say that Christianity is dying. I think it's not sleeping either. I think there are some really good things going on around the country. I mean, I've obviously been looking at the Diocese of Carlisle a little bit in the last few weeks and months, and there's some amazing stuff going on there. That's quite a tough context with lots of scattered rural parishes. So the sort of place where you could imagine that it might be quite hard to see what Christianity is doing. But there's some really good stuff in Fresh Expressions, church planting, mission. There's a church that meets on one of the hillsides. Stuff with young people and quite a lot of ecumenical working, actually, so different denominations working together. So I think Christianity is both alive and awake in lots of different ways.
The statement isn't mine. It's the statement comes from someone called Tim Stanley, who wrote an article in The Telegraph. Basically saying the church is asleep and the evangelism can wake it up. But I was really touched by it because where we are, in our kind of rural setting but with two big villages, there seems to be almost nothing I can do which will encourage people to come to church on a Sunday morning. But all our church things that happen at other times of the week are all flourishing. So Friday afternoons once a month in Killearn, we have a church service aimed at children and families, and we might have 30 children and 20 adults. It's the biggest single worship service that we have in that place every month, but it's not a Sunday morning. So our evidence seems really contradictory, but it's not dying, but it's not Sunday mornings.
No, well, we've probably got to think of different ways of doing church, haven't we? And maybe move out of some of our... Well, Sunday mornings will continue to be the right time for a lot of people. I think it's meeting people where they are, isn't it? And probably quite a lot getting outside of church and meeting people where they are in their daily lives.
I think one of the people in our team is really theologically wedded to Sunday. He thinks that we should be the Lord's people worshipping on the Lord's Day. But I'm not sure we live in a society where that is necessarily even possible now for everybody. I don't know, I guess you've seen changes for Sunday and other things.
Definitely, I have some sympathy with that person. There is definitely something about the Lord's people meeting on the Lord's Day, and I think that will continue. But whether that will continue to be the place where mission happens is another matter.
Do you think then people should graduate from worshipping on other days to worshipping on a Sunday?
Yeah, this is a big question, isn't it? It was around messy church and that sort of thing. No, not necessarily. I mean, of course, it raises the question about what is church, and at what point does a group of people who just happen to be meeting in a coffee shop, for instance, become a church? These are the sort of things that we teach our students about and try and wrestle with here at Trinity. And I think it's not an easy... There aren't any easy solutions. It's probably going to take all sorts of different ways of doing things to reach people. And even when it looks like the figures are going in the wrong direction, the wrong, in inverted commas, direction, that still doesn't mean that God isn't at work and God isn't doing things. I think it was Bonhoeffer who said that often the times that look like the greatest successes are actually the times where the church is losing its soul, and the times where it looks like the church is, you know, going into decline might actually be the times when God is doing the most work. So you can't always associate numbers with fruitfulness, although we do need to grow in numbers as well.
And my conversation with Bishop Stephen Cottrell way back in April, he was talking about what we think about church and what we write in the service books, so what actually happens to the stats. And we've become very pedantic about writing almost everything in the service book. That would certainly, anything that would meet the Fresh Expressions definition of worship gets written in the service book, whether or not it's in our church building. And we write our toddler group in the service book more for record than anything else. It doesn't actually have quite enough prayer to count as worship, but we want to keep a record of the numbers for that with other things. So I wonder how much reporting is actually being done accurately as well.
Yep.
For that.
Somebody said you value what you measure, something like that, and you measure what you value. So I think we need to look at the ways we measure things, what we measure.
So I've got three specialist questions for you. How has theological training for ministry changed in the last 20 years since I was applying?
20 years is when I was training as well, so and I trained here at Trinity, so it is interesting to see how one college might have changed in 20 years. I think there's still quite a lot that's the same, and probably always should be the same. So a focus on deep learning of the things of God. Theology will never go out of fashion in my book. People need to know the basics, they need to know the Bible, need to know where we've come from, church history, ethics. So we still teach all of those things, proudly and rightly so. I think the way that people access those things has become more flexible. So here at Trinity, a lot of our students are studying full-time, as we call it, residentially. So they're kind of here Monday to Friday and they're in lectures. We also have a cohort of people who come in. They're based largely in their parishes and they come in now and again for their lectures, and some part-time people who come in the evening. So I think that's a change. It's the kind of pattern of learning and training is much more flexible than it used to be. Just recognising that people have different life commitments and not everyone can up sticks and come to a place like this for 3 years. there's also a, we certainly here at Trinity, our students are placed in parishes now for the whole of their training. So we're trying to move away from the idea of a kind of one-off placement where you learn everything and then you just go and do it for a bit and then you come back and learn more. We're trying to make it so that students integrate their learning and their doing, and they might do everything in the same day so they can reflect theologically on what they've been learning and what they've been doing. So we're in partnership with 20 churches around Bristol, and our students are on placement, a long, kind of long thin placement as we call it. I think that's different to how it used to be. And I think students come with a whole different load of life experiences. People, maybe this has always been the case, but people come from a whole load of different backgrounds and bring stuff to training. So whether this was ever the case, but the days when people would say, sort of imagine that you start afresh when you come to college, that it's not those days anymore. We're wanting to bring what people bring from previous professions, from previous study, into theology and learning. So whether that's different or not, I'm not sure.
I was just reflecting as I came here today. I was trying to remember when I first started, how I first registered as a part-time student at Trinity. Mm-hmm. So I think it might have been 97, it might have been 98, and I got my AMA in 2006 without doing it's a long complicated story, but without doing a bachelor's degree here in the meanwhile. But it was really strange being a part-time student then. I'd never been to chapel. Because that was just how it worked out for me, and I was doing quite an unusual combination at that point, but I didn't feel very integrated, certainly, but that wasn't really what I was wanting, so I guess that worked well for me. I did a part-time training course as well, so I trained with WEMTEC.
Right.
So I did some courses here and courses there as well.
Yeah.
So all my formation was with WEMTEC.
Right.
Well,
part-time students here now do come to chapel. I mean, they might not be at the same time. There are different chapel services at different times, but the formation and the learning and the worship all need to go together.
So I guess, what is the best thing about being principal of a theological college is about to change, and something you're probably about to reflect on quite a lot.
Being principal of a theological college is brilliant, and I will really miss it. Being a bishop is the right next step, but I will really miss my time here. It's in many ways the best job in the Church of England, I think. You just get to journey with a whole load of people at a really significant stage as they're discovering more about God and about themselves. And it's wonderful to watch. And being part of a community of learning, of worship, where we eat together, we laugh together, we cry together, we see each other every day. That's very special, because you see change happening, and not just in the students, in the faculty and in myself as well. I had a card from a student who's just left to be ordained this year. A wonderful student who's really got stuck into the life of the community here. And she was saying how when she arrived, she was very unconfident and very unsure of who she was and what she was doing. And she said, I'm going out as a confident minister of the gospel of Jesus. And that, for me, that sums it up. That's why I do what I do.
That sounds like the college has done its job.
Well, certainly in that case, it seems to have done. And just watching that journey of transformation happen again and again is really special. And it's great being around a load of people who know theology and know their Bible. I was writing a sermon the other day and stuck on a certain Greek word, and I can go up to my colleague who's the New Testament scholar and say, how do we translate this, or what do you think about this, and sit down for a minute and talk it through. And that's a very rich environment to be in. Those are just two of the things, but there are a whole load of things. We have great food here as well. I'll miss that.
And if you could change one thing about the Church of England, what would it be? Yeah. Although you may choose not to come into this.
I think if bishops didn't have to wear silly pointy hats, that would be a very good idea. That's at the moment, that's one thing I'd change. Oh, how to begin to answer this. I wouldn't say that this is change, because I think this is happening, but I'd like to see more of it, and that is just lay people in churches discovering who they are as Christians and living it out in the world. You know, I think that's what, when the Church of England is at its best, it's helping people to do that. So it's not about, it is about Sundays, but it's not just about Sundays. It's about the whole of the Church of England, which is everyone, being Christian, whether that is from the Archbishop of Canterbury speaking out about something in Parliament, or Mrs. Miggins telling her friends about Jesus at the social club. All of that.
I was talking to someone about this earlier, about the job of a Church of England parish priest being different to building a mega church in the States, because if you're trying to build a mega church in the States, you gather people in from lots of places. But the job of a parish priest, as I see it, is that you have your people. So I have 6,000 people, which is a good mega church size number. But my job is to bring all of them a step closer to Jesus, from wherever they are. And I think that's a very different model of,
it's very
of
special
ministry.
It is the thing I love about the Church of England, that there is that sense of coverage, I suppose, for want of a better word, that every part of the country somehow belongs, whether it wants to belong or not. There are many people who would refute that as a claim for themselves, but yeah, that sense of being caring for whole communities is a very special one.
So our last question, and I'm hoping you've got 2 minutes on this, so we'll see. What's your favourite thing beginning with T?
My favourite thing beginning with T is, this is easy really, because my son is called Toby. So I think if I didn't say Toby, I'd probably have him to answer for.
That sounds like you need to say
it. I think my favourite thing beginning with T is Toby.
And I'm very impressed that you didn't say theology. Would that come in as a number two, do you think?
There might be a few more before it finishes. It probably will be in the top 10.
Yes, when I went to see Richard Clutterbuck in Cambridge, his favourite tea was The Archers, followed by Theology.
That's cheating, isn't it? That's really anything cheating. Beginning with the.
So they're all our questions. Thank you ever so much for seeing
me
today, Emma.
No, you're very welcome. Thanks, Janet.